Hello and welcome to a special Business Radio X production, where we feature innovative leaders and difference makers in our communities. Hi, thank you for joining us. I am Ryan Redhawk McPherson. And before we introduce today's guest, please let me remind you to follow the network here, Business Radio X, on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. See what we're doing with this program and all of our shows across all of our studios on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Look for Business Radio X. All right, without further ado, calling today from Seattle, please let me introduce to you professional speaker and trainer with Your Communication Connection, Jan McLaughlin. How are you, Jan?
Hi, Ryan. I'm good. And I want you to know it's sunny in Seattle.
Well, that is unusual for sure. And it's a little cool and misty here in Atlanta today, but we are going to have some great conversation today about being a leader, influencing others, and what's trending in that world today. So, Jan, right out of the gate, tell us, how are you helping people at Your Communication Connection?
Well, the very popular program is Leader is Influencer, Impression Management in the Spotlight. And I just did that for the Washington State Human Resource Council and for the National Association of County Engineers. And what they began to realize is we can actually manage the impression that others have of us as a leader. So as Ken Blanchard used to say, you manage by walking around. Well, while we're walking around, people are watching us. So everything we do relates to how they perceive us as a leader. So that's really the crux of that program. I created it as a full-day program for a director development program of Seattle's largest medical center, and have since taken it to a half day and then to a keynote and then to a breakout session. So I've done it in many forms. And it's just been very popular, having people realize, wow, I don't have any idea how I look when people are talking to me. I don't have any idea how I sound when people are talking to me. So it's really a revelation for a lot of my audience members and a lot of fun for me to do.
I bet it is. And leadership is always evolving. How would one know if they are an influencer in a leadership position?
One thing I have them do is Marshall Goldsmith wrote a great book called, the title is wonderful, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And Marshall has an exercise he calls Feed Forward. And when I have at least 90 minutes, we end the program with this. And it's when you decide what one thing is getting in my way. And it could be that they're a constant frowning thinker, something as simple as that, or that they rely too much on sarcasm, all kinds of things. But I ask the participants to really boil it down to what one thing do you want to work on? And then Marshall's Feed Forward exercise, and this is on his website, and he welcomes anyone to use it. In that exercise, they go to one person and say to them, I would like to come across as less sarcastic or less intimidating or whatever it might be. That person they're talking to gives them two tips. Then they ask that person what they want to change, what they want to work on. They get two tips. And all of this takes 2 minutes. Then they move on to the next person. So Marshall calls it feed forward, but what we're really talking about is ask your mentor, ask someone who reports to you, ask a peer, ask a friend how you come across, because we really don't see ourselves the way others see us.
That's right.
So that's the big tip for everyone, but right, especially for leaders.
And Mac, you mentioned earlier in the conversation, everyone is a leader. You are influencing others. People are watching you, whether you consciously realize it or not. So developing a leadership style is very important. We hear from time to time here on the show when leaders come down to deciding between the competency and their character. Can you speak to character and how that plays to someone's leadership?
I'm not sure what the question is, Ryan.
Competency versus character. We know many organizations spend a lot of training and effort and money on competency training for their staff. What about leadership training and character development? How important is that from your perspective?
One of the issues that I talk about a lot, Daniel Goleman says this, he wrote the book Emotional Intelligence, and he says people are promoted for technical operational and intellectual reasons. And I think that's very true. This is, you know, people do a good job, they get promoted. Suddenly they're leading people. What doesn't happen, and this is to the competency issue that you're talking about, they don't get trained to be a leader, which is very different than succeeding intellectually or operationally. So, yes, we need to train on competency. Now, Marshall Goldsmith, who is considered the international expert in leadership development, and what his role is to, he's brought into organizations where they've designated someone that they feel should be the next CEO. But as Marshall said, everyone I know succeeds because of doing a lot of things right. And almost everyone I know has one. He doesn't call it the tragic flaw, but I call it the tragic flaw, has one behavior or character trait that defies common sense. That's the term he uses. So when Marshall works with somebody, he's asking them to get feedback from all the people I just mentioned, their direct reports, their peers, their mentors, their family. And he cites one example that I think speaks to this character competency issue that you're talking about, Ryan. He has one gentleman who's been targeted to become the CEO, but everyone Marshall talks to says the guy doesn't listen. He just doesn't listen. So he went home to his family, and of course he had teenagers. You can almost hear this coming, can't you? And he said, "So, they tell me I don't listen." And his teenagers looked at him, and yes, they probably rolled their eyes and said, "Dad, you don't." So what the guy did was take himself to a country where he didn't speak the language and where it really wasn't that common that everyone spoke English. And he spent 2 weeks there alone and focused on being a better listener and came back and said, "Wow, I think I'm ready."
Yeah.
So when you speak to character, it's those kinds of things. It's becoming aware of what's getting in our way and deciding to work on it, to fix it.
Certainly. And that self-awareness is where it all begins. Your character can launch you to success or it could limit you from achieving great success. And so I like to bring up another point that happens a lot in business. You know, things get hectic and things get heated up. What are some advice you have for leaders to stay cool when things heat up?
You're playing off my one of my favorite titles, which is How to Stay Cool When Things Heat Up. And I welcome everyone to go to my blog post. And I talk about what I call verbal Aikido. And every time I speak, there's someone in the audience who knows about Aikido. And I always just ruin the explanation. But Aikido is a form of martial arts. And what it says is you don't learn how to hi-ya or kick or, you know, any of the jab. What you learn to do is use the force or the power of the person to turn them around. So basically, I say when they push, you pull. When they pull, you push. My dad was a football coach, and I always say, if you've got offense, what do you have on the other side? You got defense, and you've got conflict. So the real key in staying cool is not get into a push-back kind of situation. And there are three techniques involved, and these are all listed in my blog post. One is called selective agreement, and I think that term kind of describes what it means. You're looking for something you can agree with in what the other person is saying. And sadly, what many of us are looking for in a conversation is what we can disagree with. So we correct them. And the minute we do that, you've got someone on the defense, and now you have conflict. So selective agreement, very interesting process, very hard for some people to do. It can be as simple as saying, "I see what you're saying," just not disagreeing. The second one is limited response. And I think that also says what it means. This is a great technique for dealing with sarcasm, which I think is rampant today. So when someone says in a very sarcastic tone, "So, couldn't get here on time, huh? Instead of reacting to them, we say the words in our head without the tone, which is what sarcasm is all about. So let's say they say, nice of you to join us. We have to say, nice of you to join us in our head without the tone and respond to that, which would be, thank you. Very hard to do, especially if you're like me. I always say I'm in recovery from being a sarcastic person. I learned it as a defense when I was a child. And I think many of us are dealing with something that we learned as a defense when we were young. And what I hope to accomplish in my program is help them realize through self-awareness that there's a better way to deal with this. And the third technique of verbal Aikido, I'm still playing with the term. So if any of your listeners want to give me a better term, I would love to hear it. But I call it intentional innocence. Intentional innocence. And what that says is that rather than reacting to something, we just let it go over our head. I'll give you an example. I was doing a full day training, and at the end of, not the end, but when I had sent everybody off to lunch, I came down the aisle and there was one person left, and I said, hello, and aren't you smart? You brought your own lunch. And he looked at me and said, you said one, Now I knew where he was coming from, but rather than react, I said, is that bad? And he said, oh, no, that's really good. But what was interesting is he wasn't going to give me that initially. And it's very easy. And I will tell you, I'm not always as good, believe me. But it's very easy to react to that person, to get defensive. Well, 1M, that's pretty good, isn't it? And instead to just say, oh, is that bad? And that's intentional innocence or naivety or whatever you want to call it. And again, hard to do, but those three techniques are what I call verbal Aikido, and they are some of the ways to stay cool when things heat up.
Definitely staying cool will put you in control and seem more like of a leader. When everything else is going out of control and people are losing their minds, if you can stay calm and cool and make rational decisions, your influence and your leadership can only grow from there. And it comes back to communication as well. You know, as a leader, being able to communicate your vision and your instructions to the team, so important. And not just to talk at them and kind of announce your vision, but really communicate. What are some of those feedbacks from them? And so do you advise leaders to check in daily or weekly? How often should you be communicating with your staff in an organization?
Constantly. One of the things I talk about in many of my programs is the issue of communication styles. And again, there's a blog post on my website about this, but everyone's, I think, seen some system that has four quadrants. And I'm not trying to put people in a box. I say, just like the Myers-Briggs, I mean, we pull from many different angles. But I like this one because they do a self-assessment at the time in the room all together, focused on their role in their company. And I call them a green, a red, a yellow, or a blue. And the reason I'm telling you this, Ryan, is very often leaders, people at the top of a company, are what I call reds. And some people call them controllers, direct, whatever, the different terms and different systems. And red forgets to take people with them. Yes, they're visionaries. That's why they're leaders. But they've got on the other side of the quadrant, we've got the greens and the blues. And these are what I call very logical, sequential people. And what reds need to realize is they make up 70% of the population. Well, whereas reds and yellows, and I happen to be a red-yellow, which makes me an orange, I guess, we're only 30% of the population. And if you say to us, you know, why did you do that? We say, because it felt right. We're random instinct decision makers, whereas greens and blues, they want to go through all the logic of it, and the blues want to know the rules. Where here we have the reds, the leaders. They don't wait. They don't ask questions. They don't give a lot of information. The greens are going, wait, I have questions. And the blues are over here going, I don't like change. And the yellows, now I'm really simplifying this, but the yellows are going, cool, I don't know where we're going, but here we go. So the reds, the leaders, yes, they're the visionaries, but what they do is forget to take people with them.
Very well said. You know, communication, as you mentioned, is a daily and should be a daily task when you are trying to relate that vision of your company and the mission of your company to those following you. And Jan McLaughlin can help you with that with her company, Your Communication Connection. You know, she's a popular speaker and trainer in all these areas, including impression management, communication, leadership, customer service, and presentation skills. Is there anyone place that you will be speaking soon that our listeners may be able to find you?
I'm hired by organizations, so I can't invite people to join me. I will soon be speaking to the Florida Recreation and Park Association. I'll be speaking to the Alaska Recreation and Park Association. This is because I spoke to the National Recreation and Park Association just a little while ago. So, no, mostly it's membership, it's associations, or it's companies. I will be doing one for the Chamber of Commerce in Spokane, Washington in a couple weeks, and I'll be doing another one for one of our counties here in Washington because they heard me speak at a, are you ready? Licensing and recording conference.
Oh, wow, exciting.
So I speak to a variety of people, but what people can do is check out my Facebook page, which is Facebook/JanLaugh, JanLaugh. What they can't see is that I have a 4-inch wide smile. So, and my last name is McLaughlin with a laugh. So it works. And my Twitter handle is @JanLaugh. So in all of these places, including my website, which is yourcommunicationconnection.com, they can find videos about some of these topics. They can see a video of how to stay cool and things heat up, a video of leader as influencer, and I will soon post on my YouTube channel a video of getting in your customer's way, policies, procedures, or people maybe driving them away. And those are probably my three most popular topics. So those are the best ways for people to, quote, see me in action on YouTube or on my website.
Well, fantastic. We encourage our listeners to go out there and connect with Jan, like she said, on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or her website, yourcommunicationconnection.com. If you're an organization and would like to have more information about her leadership speaking and teaching, that's a great resource to start with there. So thank you so much, Jan, for taking the time to speak with us here today. Please enjoy that sunny Seattle weather.
I will. Thank you, Ryan.
You're welcome. And listeners, today's episode has been brought to you by Radio in My Booth. Would you like to have live radio at your next trade show, conference, or expo? Well, now you can at radioinmybooth.com, engaging a target audience on location. Go to radioinmybooth.com to learn more. That's radioinmybooth.com. And thank you once again to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. Until we talk again on the radio.